Hello, everyone. So we're going to be talking about workers' rights, and I'll tell you my stance on it after we are. Sex workers' rights. Sex workers' rights encompass a variety of aims being pursued globally by individuals and organizations that specifically involve the human rights, right to health, and labor rights of sex workers and their clients. The goals of these movements are diverse, but generally aim to decriminalize and destigmatize sex work and ensure fair treatment before legal and cultural forces on a local and international level for all persons in the sex industry. The term sex work refers primarily to prostitution, but all encompasses adult video performers, phone sex operators, webcam models, dancers in strip clubs, and others who provide sexually related services. Some extend the use of the term to include, in quotation, support personnel, such as managers, agents, videographers, club bouncers, and others. The debate over sex work is often characterized as an issue of women's rights, especially by those who argue that prostitution is inherently oppressive and seek to criminalize it or keep it illegal. But in fact, there are also many male and non-binary individuals engaged in providing sexual services. Most sex workers do not wish to be branded as criminals and regard laws against prostitution, pornography, and other parts of the sex industry as violating their rights. Since the use of red umbrellas by sex workers in Venice, Italy in 2001, as part of the 49th Venice Biennale of Art, a red umbrella has become the foremost internationally recognized symbol for sex workers' rights. Bronze statue Belle in Amsterdam's red light district De Wallen in front of the Oude Kerk. It was unveiled in March 2007 with the inscription, "Respect sex workers all over the world." Discrimination and stigmatization. In most countries, even those where sex work is legal, sex workers of all kinds feel that they are stigmatized and marginalized, and that this prevents them from seeking legal redress for discrimination. The examples are racial discrimination by a strip club owner, dismissal from a teaching position because of involvement in the sex industry, non-payment by a client, assault, or rape. Activists also believe that clients of sex workers may also be stigmatized and marginalized, in some cases even more so than sex workers themselves. For instance, in Sweden, Norway, and Iceland, it is illegal to buy sexual acts, but not to sell them. The buyer is said to have committed a crime, but not the prostitute. Pornography debates. During the 1970s and 1980s, the main topics in the feminist discourse on women's sexuality were pornography, prostitution, and human trafficking. This led to the birth of the mobilization for sex workers' rights in America. Carol Lay is credited with coining the term sex work in the early 1980s, and it was later popularized by a book published in 1989 called Sex Work. Around this time, pornography in particular was a prominent debate amongst feminists campaigning for women's rights. The feminists involved in these debates held opposing views on how to eliminate sexual violence against women, and those involved were either classified as liberal feminists or radical feminists. A third group of feminists is described as pro-sex or sex-positive feminism, and this view is considered the true feminist defense of pornography. Radical feminists. The argument of the radical side rests upon the premise that pornography depicts women as subordinates and perpetuates violence against women. Some of the main anti-porn feminists involved in the debates included Paige Mellish, Andrea Dworkin, and Katharine McKinnon. Dworkin insisted that the oppression of women occurs through sexual subordination, and that for gender equality to exist, subordination must be eliminated. Thus, she states that pornography and prostitution are incompatible with gender equality. Similarly, McKinnon states that pornography is an act of sexual violence. On the grounds that pornography violated women's civil rights, she and Dworkin proposed a law named the Anti-Pornography Civil Rights Ordinance that allowed women to seek reparations for damages done by pornography through civil courts. Likewise, Paige Mellish, the founder of Feminists Fighting Pornography, FFP in parentheses, believed that issues facing feminists were rooted in pornography. Mellish allied with conservatives in 1992 to fight for the passing of the Pornography Victims' Compensation Act, which was modeled after Dworkin and McKinnon's ordinance. Liberal feminists. Contrarily, liberal feminists believe that capitalism allows women to freely make whatever choices they desire. As such, some women freely choose to participate in pornography as they do in other forms of labor. The main thing that these feminists fight for is anti-censorship, regardless of whether they personally agree with pornography or not. On this side of the debate are feminists such as Gail Rubin and Lynn Chancer. Rubin argues that anti-pornography laws could negatively harm people who are considered sexual minorities, such as the LGBTQI+ community, sex workers, and feminists, because they would create new problems and modes of abuse resulting from the anti-pornography side's use of a limited amount of porn that demonstrates the most extreme cases of violence, such as sadomasochism. Likewise, Chancer argues that it is possible for such imagery to be able to circulate consensually and lawfully with genuine feelings of pleasure. While genuine feelings of pleasure are being experienced without women being subordinated. She also states that some of these feminists believe that pornography is negatively affecting women by leading to violence against women, when in actuality it is not. Thus, she concludes that radical feminists are looking at pornography as a quick fix to a much larger societal problem. Sex-positive feminists. Sex-positive feminists believe that no form of sexual expression should be vilified except that which is not consensual. One of the main advocates of this feminist perspective is Carol Queen. She argues that radical feminists probably generalize too wildly as far as women are concerned and do not take into consideration more complicated circumstances such as sadomasochism and prostitution. Alisa Glick also states that configurations of power within relationships do not prevent women from exercising it, and that they can be used to enable women to exercise it. Men on porn. There's a debate on whether the consumption of porn among men is good for their well-being. Though in a study of over 300 men aged 18 to 73, 97% report they have watched porn, with 94% reporting having done so in the last 6 months, and 82% reporting doing so in a manner they would consider regularly. Men of all ages report an overall positive experience with porn, though younger men express greater negative than older men, which researchers speculate is because porn skews their perceptions of sex. Sex wars debate. Pornography debates provided leeway for the emergence of the, in quotations, sex wars debates, a title assigned by feminist scholars. These debates began in the 1980s and centered upon ways that women were depicted in heterosexual sexual relations. The main premise of the anti-pornography movement rests upon the argument that pornography is degrading and violent towards women. These feminists also believe that pornography encourages men to behave violently towards women. However, liberal feminists argue that this argument does not take into account the pleasure that women can experience, stating that these arguments could backfire against women and subject them to a greater degree of subordination. Thus, the debate started to become centralized on the role of dominance within heterosexual relationships and how this dominance is transferred to other areas of women's lives. These theories of male sexuality and female objectification and sexuality are controversial because they framed later debates about human trafficking in which coerced workers are distinguished from voluntary workers. The human trafficking debate, a prominent discourse in the 21st century, has materialized as a result of the movement. Current debates center on whether the best way to protect women would be through abolition, criminalization, decriminalization, or legalization. Legalization. Sex workers, advocates who are fighting for legalization and decriminalization of prostitution contend that criminalizing consensual sex acts among adults creates a black market which worsens the problem of forced human trafficking rather than reducing it. They decry the paternalistic attitude of what they disparagingly, let me repeat that again, legalization section. Sex workers, advocates who are fighting for legalization and decriminalization of prostitution contend that criminalizing consensual sex acts among adults creates a black market which worsens the problem of forced human trafficking rather than reducing it. They decry the paternalistic attitude of what they disparagingly call quote-unquote rescue missions, law enforcement raids that regard all sex workers as in need of quote-unquote saving, fail to distinguish the minority of sex workers who are coerced from the vast majority who engage in sex work voluntarily. Furthermore, liberal feminists such as Ronald Weitzer and Gail Rubin argue that the definition of sex work as inherently violent has created a quote-unquote moral panic that influences political discourse. They contend that this quote-unquote panic has led to the construction of a trafficking victim who may be a woman migrating for work. That's called migrant sex work. These feminists argue that this can backfire because it does not protect those women who voluntarily enter into sex work. Criminalization. Opponents of the sex workers' rights movement, such as Melissa Farley and Janice Raymond, argue that prostitution should be abolished or prohibited because legalization can increase incidences of human trafficking. The new UN trafficking protocol by Raymond argues that many victims are trafficked to countries in which sex work is legalized or decriminalized, and because they are trafficked under the guise, G-U-I-S-E, of migrants, they are not protected. Raymond also argues that it is impossible to separate exploitation experienced by local prostitutes from the exploitative experiences of trafficked prostitutes, as they are very similar. Thus, to end sex slavery, the report declares that everyone involved in sex work needs to be criminalized so that the industry can be abolished. Similarly, Farley argues that engagement in voluntary sex work is a decision made by women in the absence of alternative choices, and that it therefore cannot accurately be described as a voluntary and freely made choice. Legality of prostitution. Most activists campaigning for the formation of policies that protect sex workers from violence fall into two main categories, abolitionism or criminalization, and legalization or decriminalization. Abolitionism or criminalization. Early reformers identified the key problem with prostitution as male lust that lured innocent women into a depraved life as prostitutes. Thus, abolitionist proponents believe that prostitution is an exploitative system that is harmful to the women involved. Therefore, these activists believe that to prevent violence against women, the customers, pimps, and panderers should be punished so that the entire institution can be demolished. Because this policy approach is built upon the idea that women are helpless victims, opponents of this view believe that it is paternalistic and not empowering to women. A study by Melissa Farley, well-known supporter of the abolition of prostitution and colleagues, suggests that violence is an intrinsic part of prostitution in which the chances of experiencing violence increases along with the number of years involved in prostitution. This study also concludes that prostitution tends to be multi-traumatic in all forms. Farley and colleagues also use the Netherlands as an example of a country to support the idea that legalized prostitution can still inflict harm on those involved. They said that over 90% of the sex workers tend to show symptoms of post-traumatic stress. I do not call it post-traumatic stress disorder because I do not believe in stigmatizing people such as myself. Therefore, these proponents advocate for abolitionism and criminalization as a method of protecting sex workers. Criminalization proponents believe that the way to protect women from interpersonal violence is to punish both sex workers and customers for partaking in the buying and selling of sex. Support for criminalization. Many proponents of abolitionism or criminalization of prostitution commonly use reasons based on studies done on the effects of prostitution in countries where it is legalized or decriminalized. Prostitution is a gift to pimps, traffickers, and the sex industry. Prostitution promotes sex trafficking. Prostitution expands the sex industry instead of controlling it. Prostitution increases clandestine, illegal, and street prostitution because many women do not participate in health checks or registration, do not want to be controlled by businessmen. Prostitution increases child prostitution. Prostitution does not protect women in prostitution. Prostitution makes it socially acceptable for men to buy sex, and women are viewed as sexual commodities that men are encouraged to partake in. Prostitution does not promote women's health because the condom use policy is not strictly enforced. Prostitution does not enhance women's choice. Legalization or decriminalization. Legalization or decriminalization proponents, on the other hand, believe that the selling and buying of sex exchange will continue no matter what. Therefore, the only way to effectively prevent violence is to acknowledge this and for government to build policies and laws that deal with the issue through regulation of the business. Legalization / decriminalization proponents believe that a system that prohibits prostitution creates an oppressive environment for prostitutes. Proponents of this view also recommend that policies are built that places restrictions on trafficking and exploitation of sex workers. Support for decriminalization or legalization. The legalization of sex work often entails additional restrictions and requirements placed on sex workers as well as registering with official government offices. Additionally, many activists favor decriminalization over legalization. Decriminalization involves a focus on laws which protect the rights of sex workers, such as those against coercion into or to stay in sex work, while all consensual sexual contact between adult sex workers and adult clients will not be criminalized. Ronald Weitzer, a well-known proponent for the legalization / decriminalization of prostitution, stated that the use of non-scientific evidence about prostitution has contributed to a quote-unquote moral panic because opponents commonly use the argument that prostitution is inherently violent and unable to be regulated. However, he also claims that other governments have been able to reject this notion and find ways to regulate it and uses Nevada as an example. Below are some of the main premises that the pro-legalization and pro-decriminalization of prostitution movement rests upon. Prostitution is a transaction where no one is harmed and the persons involved are consenting adults. Prostitution is a free choice. Sex work is no more moral or immoral than other jobs. Sex trafficking and coercion into the industry can be effectively reduced if sex work is legalized or decriminalized. Decriminalization or legalization can protect sex workers from violence most effectively such as through on-site security at venues such as brothels and systems such as panic buttons, as well as the ability for sex workers to report abuse or crimes to the police without the fear of prosecution or committing illegal activity. The spread of diseases can be hindered through the legalization and decriminalization of prostitution, such as through regulated mandated health checks and required condom use. The rates of rape could decrease if prostitution were legalized or decriminalized. Sex work could become a legal business, and human rights and workers' rights could be enforced by effective regulations such as fair pay. Prostitution is a career option which the free market has been taken advantage of, and women's claims over their own bodies. The criminalization of sex workers only exacerbates problems that they're already facing. Therefore, the criminalization and legalization can be a starting point to addressing these issues. Decriminalization is supported by academics, human rights organizations such as Amnesty International, Human Rights Watch, and the American Civil Liberties Union, UN agencies such as UNAIDS, WHO, and UNDP, LGBTQI+ organizations such as LIGA and Lambda Legal, and anti-trafficking organizations such as the Global Alliance Against Trafficking Women, La Strada International, and the Freedom Network USA. Employment. Depending on regional law, sex workers' activities may be regulated, controlled, tolerated, or prohibited. For example, prostitution is illegal in many countries, but it is fully legalized in several jurisdictions, including the Netherlands, Germany, some Australian states, and several counties in the U.S. state of Nevada. Legal restrictions to this occupation result in adapting practices in an effort to keep sex workers safe and employed. Strip club employment issues. In both Canada and the U.K., dancers in strip clubs are independent contractors who face significant problems that they are unable to rectify because of their inability to challenge employers through organized action. Entry fees. In the UK, a study was conducted which inquired about dancers' experiences to get a better understanding to determine whether or not it could be costly for women to work some nights. It stated that often when the club offered promotions with gimmicks, dancers would be required to work without payment. Furthermore, dancers may be required to promote events without pay as part of the house rules. If they tried to complain, the club owners would threaten to dismiss them. Thus, the study suggests that strip club workers in the UK operate under vulnerable conditions without the capacity to organize for better working conditions. Moreover, the study states that dancers are also required to pay their quote-unquote house moms and the DJs, as well as being pressured to buy drinks for their customers and other dancers, which hampers their profit-making ability. House fees. The fees of dancers' house fees can be large, and sometimes they are not waived or lowered when business is slow. Also, clubs may continue to hire women even during bad economic downturns. Therefore, dancers feel that their earning potential is lower. Commission. In addition to house fees and entry fees, many dancers are not paid for their stage shows because they are considered a part of self-advertisement. This is also considered another rule that comes along with their job description. In the UK, the club generally takes 30% commission. Fines and tips. The final way clubs make money is through fines and tips. This study found that there could be a fine for something such as chewing gum or having gum in a bag that ranges from 20 to 30 pounds. The most common fines were chewing gum, using cellular phones on the floor, and tardiness. It goes on to say that some dancers may have to pay to take time off. Dancers also tip people that work in the club, such as waitresses and doormen, in order to get them to direct customers to them. Other reasons that motivate dancers to tip include tipping security so that the dancers will not be fined, and tipping DJs to be called during good song and opportune times. Registration process. In the Canadian city of Toronto, workers must be in possession of an adult entertainer license that's only provided following a criminal record check and a submission of a form. applicants are generally charged about $400 and are required to pay an annual $270 renewal fee. Municipal bylaws govern the standards that workers must abide by to maintain their license. Unlawful and inappropriate customer behavior. A survey undertaken by the Toronto City Council in 2012 was to inform a reconsideration of the regulations around licensing for strip club-based sex workers. The most significant aspect was a reappraisal of the no, quote-unquote, no-touching rule so that it specified areas of the body to prevent people from being fined in the event of acceptable casual physical contact. Of those sex workers who responded to the survey, 67% stated that they had been sexually assaulted and touched without their consent. While they further document the responses from the employers, 2% called the police, 34% asked the customer to leave, 22% ignored the incident, 4% blamed the stripper, and 14% dismissed the incidents as part of the job. Digital entrepreneurship, sexual labor. Research indicates that forms of female digital entrepreneurship, such as sexual labor, are often delegitimized due to the socio-cultural assumptions that, quote unquote, defines female sexual labor as illegitimate work. Historically, women's work has been devalued and hypersexualized. With reproductive labor devalued in relation to the economy, it means jobs categorized as women's work are seen as an illegitimate way of earning an income. This means limited benefits, rights, and protection to those who perform them. This labor sector continues to increase annually. However, the financial instability remains unchanged. Men who have sex with men often find LGBTQIA plus hookup apps and websites as an introduction to sex work. There are opposing perspectives on whether doing sex work through these apps minimizes risk or increases it. Many of these apps are used covertly in violation of the terms of the service. They use codes to circumvent censors at the risk of being reported or banned. Sex workers who come to sex work through these apps may be poorly equipped to manage risks such as STIs and client vetting and may not view themselves as sex workers due to their more casual nature of the hookup apps. This perspective can cause them to underestimate the risks of sex work and puts them at greater risk for harm. Other studies have shown that hookup apps can be beneficial providing safety as they reduce the risk of solicitation on the street and allow for sex workers to have more control over who has access to knowledge of their services. Technology gives more opportunities for sharing information, setting expectations before meeting. Online sex work also creates a more comfortable attitude around sex work, especially among queer men. By country, Argentina, the Association of Women's Prostitutes of Argentina, ANMAR, in parentheses, was started by Elena Renaga, who now heads the South American Sex Workers Network, RETROSEX. ANMAR leader Sandra Cabrera was killed for her activism in 2004. India, on March 10, 2014, the All India Network of Sex Workers, an umbrella group of sex worker organizations, campaigned for pension rights. Representative of 90 sex work organizations across 16 Indian states. The network presented a letter explaining that sex workers in India are not treated equally in social security terms, stating, sex workers, including their family members, can't access various social entitlements which are offered to citizens in general. We consider sex work like any other occupation belonging to the unorganized sector, and we should be brought under the universal pension scheme. A spokesperson for the network also informed the media that sex workers in India retire, quote unquote, by the age of 40 to 45 years, an earlier age than the broader population. Canada, the passing of Bill C-5 Native 36 in 2014, the Protection of Communities and Exploited Persons Act criminalized the purchasing of sexual services in Canada. They stigmatized sex work by condemning sex work clientele and posit sex workers as victims to sexual exploitation. The criminalization of purchasing sexual services created riskier working conditions for sex workers due to services going underground to avoid clients being policed. For instance, sex workers now rush negotiations with clients to avoid being caught by the police, resulting in increased risk of violence, abuse, and condom refusal. This bill has been referred to as quote unquote in-demand legislation, has been critiqued by sex workers and advocates in that it furthers harm experienced by sex workers rather than eliminating it. Their response to this legislation has been to call for the decriminalization of sex work and the purchasing of sex work services to ensure access to full labor and human rights for sex workers. British Columbia, Canada. In February 2021, it was announced that the Law Foundation of BC and an anonymous donor would be contributing $1 million to the creation of a province-wide, quote-unquote, bad date database. This database would support harm reduction for sex workers in BC, giving an accessible way to avoid risky and potentially violent clients and situations. At this time, project details are still being negotiated. However, the project will be led by sex work advocacy groups in consultations with the sex work community. The creation of a provincial reporting system is vital. Due to sex workers' reluctance to report crimes to the police and the need to make sex work conditions as safe as possible. Netherlands, a study by Janice Raymond states that there can be many detrimental consequences to legalizing and criminalizing prostitution. One consequence mentioned was that prostitution can be seen as a suitable and normal option for the poor. Therefore, poor women can be easily exploited when there's a lack of sexual services, which does not lead to their empowerment. Melissa Farley supported this idea with an analysis stating that most women do not rationally decide to enter prostitution rather, the decision is made as a survival choice and that there are certain circumstances that can drive women to the field of prostitution, leaving them with a choice that is more along the lines of voluntary slavery. Thus, it is merely used as a surviving strategy. Furthermore, Raymond states that businesses in the sex industry are able to offer services to any men, which has led to more gender inequality because women have to accept that prostitution is the norm. She supported this by saying that even disabled men are able to receive sexual services, and their caregivers, mostly women, are required to take them to these establishments and assist them in engaging in sexual acts. Another consequence Raymond mentioned is that child prostitution has increased in the Netherlands. She suggests this is because the Netherlands has created a prostitution promoting environment through laws concerning children that make it easier for abusers to use children without penalty. She also asks that the distinction between voluntary and forced prostitution could be detrimental, because it can be argued that the thought of someone being forced into prostitution can be exciting for some men because it may be a part of clients' fantasies. Finally, another study states that the legalization or decriminalization can be detrimental, because studies that surveyed sex workers where it is legal concluded that violence is accepted as a part of the job, with the universal experience of molestation and abuse. Hawaii. This is the United States section, so we're starting with Hawaii. A decision by the House and the Senate in Hawaii was expected in May 2014 after police agreed in March 2014 not to oppose the revision of a law that was implemented in the 1970s, allowing undercover police officers to engage in sexual relations with sex workers during the course of investigations. Following initial protests from supporters of legislation, all objections were retracted on March 25th, 2014. A Honolulu police spokeswoman informed Time magazine that at the time of the court's decision, no reports had been made regarding the abuse of the exception by police, while a Hawaiian senator stated to the media, "I suppose that in retrospect, the police probably feel somewhat embarrassed about this whole situation." However, the Pacifica Alliance to Stop Slavery and other advocates affirmed their knowledge of police brutality in this area and explained that the fear of retribution is the main deterrent for sex workers who seek to report offending officers. At a Hawaiian Senate Judiciary Committee meeting also in March 2014, an attorney testified that his client was raped 3 times by Hawaiian police before prosecution was cited as the reason for her subsequent arrest. Nevada. Barbara Brentz and Catherine Hasbeck state in their study that the legalization of prostitution in Nevada's brothels allows for improved regulation and protection for both businesses and workers. Academic Ronald White supports this idea by citing the impact of the numerous safety measures that ensure the safety of the workers. Brentz and Hasbeck's case study of Nevada's brothels entailed examples of how they believe protection mechanisms were designed to account for the entire process of each individual job. That is the time that a sex worker is with a customer. They started by saying that the negotiation process for sex workers in Nevada requires the use of an intercom during the process so that workers will not betray the business owners and so that owners can know if the customers are putting the workers at risk. After the price is negotiated, the money is paid and taken out of the room by the sex worker. At that point, the sex workers have the opportunity to let security guards know if there's anything unsafe or uncomfortable about the situation so that security can be alerted. Another protection mechanism requires security to interrupt the workers after the allotted period of time to demand that the customers either leave or renegotiate the price so that sex workers are not coerced or forced into providing additional services without a fee. Finally, the study concludes that sex workers are offered protection from one another in brothels because of strictly enforced rules and the relationships that brothels have been able to build with local law enforcement officials. According to some legalization supporters, this protection creates an environment that can be empowering for women to work in. Additionally, proponents argue that workers must also comply with health regulations and engage in preventive practices. They state that this compliance leads to a system that becomes mutually advantageous for brothels and sex workers because the perception of safety by workers is profitable for the brothel. In brothels in Nevada, it is a requirement for sex workers to be tested and verified as healthy. Afterwards, they're required to be checked periodically for certain STIs. Sexually transmitted infections, or sexually transmitted diseases, STDs. Condom usage is also mandatory. And this is advertised by the brothel so that customers know beforehand. Finally, sex workers are able to examine the customers before any services are given to make sure there are no signs of visible STIs. If there are any suspicions, the worker is allowed to refund the customer and refuse service. So I'm almost done. Risks associated with sex work, sexually transmitted infections, STIs, and in countries where sex work is either criminalized or illegal or both, sex workers face many potential threats of violence. One major threat of violence is the risk that they may contract a sexually transmitted infection, STI, due to their labor and context-dependent barriers that can be either structural, government, or individual fear in nature. Since street-based violence can be commonplace, This further increases their susceptibility to contracting the disease due to factors such as coercion or rape, as they cannot demand that a condom is used or to refuse service. In addition, the World Health Organization states that sex workers have been known to be refused health services when seeking out disease prevention and treatment because of the nature of the occupation. Furthermore, sex workers are also afraid to seek out health services for problems because of structural barriers that prevent them from knowing about and utilizing services that could teach them better prevention methods. A particular example of the disease threat sex, I'm sorry, sometimes there's so many educated words that I try my best to slow down. A particular example of the disease threatening sex workers are faced with, wow, sometimes the wording, slow down. A particular example of a disease threats sex workers are faced with can be demonstrated via a study conducted in Cambodia, where the rate of HIV has increased. This report studied the prevalence of HIV among a group of indirect sex workers in Cambodia called, quote unquote, beer promotion girls. Women are not girls, girls are not women. Okay. Women employed by distributors to promote and sell beers. The study found that they have the highest rate of HIV because they often sell sex as a means of supplementing their salary. This report also found that among indirect sex workers, the condom usage rate is lower because they may be getting paid more for sex without condoms. It concluded by explaining how disease prevention campaigns also target direct sex workers, such as those who work in a brothel, and neglect the women in other areas of sex work who are also at risk of contracting STIs. Thus, advocates of legalization / decriminalization of prostitution believe policies need to be designed to target any sex worker who may be in a vulnerable position. Trans women who are sex workers are at a particular risk for HIV. The seroprevalence of HIV among trans women sex workers internationally has been estimated at 27.3%. Furthermore, sex work is prevalent amongst transgender people, particularly young trans women. Physical violence. Likewise, the World Health Organization report says that criminalization creates an environment where women are less likely to report crimes against them and accept the possibility of violence such as rape, murder, beatings, and kidnapping as a part of their job description. The report also states that sex workers are even at risk of being harassed, humiliated, and coerced into sex with local law enforcement. Although these are some of the common threats that both decriminalizing slash decriminalizing prostitution hope to address and reduce. Another study concludes that the rates of victimization of prostitutes are not nearly as high as some studies claim. On April 11, 2018, the United States Congress passed the Stop Enabling Sex Traffickers Act, commonly known as FOSTA/SESTA, which imposes severe penalties on online platforms that facilitate sex work. The act resulted in the closure of the classified advertising website Backpage and led to the arrest of its founders. The effectiveness of the act has come into question, and there have been allegations that it has endangered sex workers and has been ineffective in catching and stopping sex traffickers. Psychological violence. Some sex workers are subjected to psychological manipulation by their pimps using a mix of violence and tenderness. Sex workers in these relationships can develop Stockholm syndrome toward their abusers and refuse to testify against them. New York County District Attorney Cyrus Vance Jr. said that such sex workers are, quote unquote, often emotionally and economically dependent upon their abusers and remain silent as their worlds grow smaller and more dangerous. Impacts of COVID-19. COVID-19 global pandemic has greatly impacted female entrepreneurs' safety who are working outside the formal economy and sex work. The two main aspects to safety are the inability to physically distance and the exclusion of government economic support because of their lack of perceived income on paper. Hello, everyone. So I want to continue where I left off. I have to take a phone call. So this will still be a part of the same episode. That's why I was quiet for a little bit. I had to give myself rest and give myself some lemonade because talking and reading for quite some time you know, there's this sensitivity to keep your throat moist. So here we go. Advocacy. Sex worker activists and advocates, including many libertarian organizations such as the Reason Foundation and the Libertarian Party of the United States, argue that sex workers should have the same basic human and labor rights as other working people. According to Jacqueline Comte, there are three different stances when it comes to the issues around sex work: abolitionism, sex-positive feminism, and decriminalization. She argues that decriminalization is the best stance based on her found research. This will allow for better working conditions, police protection, less violence against sex workers. In June 2014, the government of Canada tried to pass Bill C-36, which would criminalize the purchase or advertising of sexual services. Organizations like Stella Liamé de Mame tried to put pressure to vote against the bill. This is an organization that is fighting for sex workers to have a voice and to have the same rights to health and security as everyone else. They argue that criminalization will have negative impacts like increased violence, more coercion, and human trafficking. Part of this organization is about free condom distribution and information and tools buying for sex workers. Sanagachi is a project in India that is well known for its HIV prevention. They promote consistent condom use, which has resulted in significant decreases in sexually transmitted infections, STIs. This project's focus is on promoting and protecting the sex workers' human and labor rights. The three tactics that they and other advocacy groups use for their goal is peer education between sex workers focused on raising awareness regarding STIs, condom distribution, free or social marketing, promotion and offering of STI screening, treatment, and management. Similarly to Stella and other organizations like Urban Justice Center, Sanagachi wants to give a voice to sex workers because they know what is best for them and what needs to be improved. The principle of this organization is that sex work is a job and it should be respected just like any other job. Another viewpoint that some activists take is legalization, which would allow sex workers to undertake their work in improved organized circumstances, legal brothels, where standard industry practices, practicing condom use and regular health checkups for sex workers could reduce the transmission of HIV and other STIs. Many sex workers are asking for their work to be decriminalized and legalized to facilitate them seeking help if they are victims of violence. The advocacy groups are the voices to push countries to make a change and end the stigma around sex work. During the COVID-19 pandemic, the Supreme Court of India passed instructions to all state governments to provide dry ration to sex workers. The red umbrella. The red umbrella symbol was introduced by sex workers in Venice, Italy in 2001 as part of the 49th Venice Biennale of Biennale of Art. Sex workers also held a street demonstration, the Red Umbrellas March, in Venice to protest inhumane work conditions and human rights abuses. The International Committee on the Rights of Sex Workers in Europe, ICRSE, adopted the Red Umbrella as a symbol of resistance to discrimination in 2005. For International Women's Day, IWD, in March 2014, sex work organizations and activists throughout the world used the Red Umbrella in activities of celebration and protest. For example, flash mob events in which the red umbrella was used were held in Sydney, Australia, London, UK, Bochum, Germany, Thailand, the Netherlands, and Peru. The Red Umbrella Project is a nonprofit organization based in New York City, which advocates on behalf of sex workers and strives to empower them by giving them a voice. The red umbrella has become the most widely recognized symbol of sex workers' rights movement. The sex workers' rights movement began in the 1970s and in many countries works to improve working conditions, increase benefits, and eliminate discrimination on behalf of individuals working within the sex industry, whether legal or criminalized. The International Committee for Prostitutes' Rights gained human rights coverage in 1985 when they obtained the World Charter for Prostitutes' Rights, creating a worldwide community. This movement continued to grow globally as members banded together to fight the AIDS/HIV crisis. I'll repeat that one more time so nobody gets confused. This movement continued to grow globally as members banded together to fight the AIDS/HIV crisis. The Global Network of Sex Work Projects, NSWP, was created in 1992 at the International AIDS Conference in Amsterdam. This network had a large part in the international response and education of people during the AIDS/HIV crisis in regards to the sex work industry. The majority of the sex workers' rights movement's progress pertains to developed countries. Currently, the organizations involved are working to extend their knowledge and activism to developing countries. Although research about the sex worker movement has been conducted mainly in North American and Western European countries, sex worker-led mobilization has occurred around the world. Such actions seek to influence policy so that sex work is recognized as a legitimate profession and sufficient rights are provided to sex workers. International organizations, Global Network of Sex Work Projects, NSWP. Global Network of Sex Work Projects, NSWP, is an organization that was founded in 1990 by sex workers from different nations at the second international conference when NGOs is working on AIDS in Paris, France. The organization has received financial support from bodies such as the Open Society Foundations and states that it, quote unquote, conducts a mix of proactive and reactive policy advocacy to support human rights and evidence-based approaches to female, male, and transgender sex workers and strengthening sex worker communities while, quote unquote, organizing at an international, including regional level, brings local and national level experiences to bear in international debates. Global Network of Sex Work Projects, NSWP, is largely responsible for the language shift, most notably the use of the term sex worker instead of prostitute that corresponds with the genuine recognition of sex workers as human rights. The organization's advocacy work has included HIV/AIDS, addressing sex worker discrimination, and participating in research about the profession. NSWP credit the publication Research for Sex Work for activists, health workers, and NGOs. During the 2012 International AIDS Conference held in Kolkata, India, sex worker activists from different countries formed the Sex Worker Freedom Festival, SWFF, as an alternative event for sex workers and allies. The week-long festival included activity in the Sanagachi red light area and represented a protest against the exclusion of sex workers. The event also sought to ensure that the perspectives of sex workers were heard in meetings held in Washington, D.C. U.S., a report entitled Solidarity is Not a Crime, was published by NSWP in April 2014, and is described by the organization as a, quote unquote, a snapshot of curated content outlining a significant and historical moment in the sex worker rights movement. World Health Organization, WHO. The World Health Organization has released a report focusing on the violence that sex workers face and their vulnerability to HIV/AIDS. It included currently used intervention strategies as well as policy recommendations from the HWO Sex Work Toolkit. Furthermore, another report addressing HIV prevention in middle to low income countries was released with policy guidelines based on research conducted by the organization, which recommended that sex work be decriminalized and called for the elimination of unjust application of non-criminal laws and regulations against sex workers. UNAIDS has written a report with policy suggestions in Asia and the Pacific that includes case studies to support ways to improve access to health services in Asia and the Pacific. It also addresses some of the factors that hinder sex workers from accessing health services. Furthermore, the UN released a development report titled Sex Work in the Law in Asia and the Pacific, discussing the policy surrounding sex work in Asia and Pacific countries. The effects these laws have on sex workers and policy recommendations. Some of the policy recommendations for governments included decriminalizing sex work and activities associated with it, providing sex workers with work-related protections, and supporting sex workers' access to health services. They have also released a 2011 through 2015 strategy report titled Getting to Zero that aims for the vision of zero new HIV infections, zero discrimination, zero AIDS-related deaths. The report states that its goals include reducing HIV transmission by half, getting universal access to antiretroviral antiretroviral therapy, antiretroviral therapy for those living with HIV, and reducing the number of countries with punitive laws around HIV transmission, sex work, drug use, or homosexual gay activity by half, all by 2015. International Labor Organization. Similarly, the International Labor Organization, ILO, has released reports suggesting policies that could be put into place that would address the vulnerabilities that sex workers encounter due to the nature of their jobs. Most of the reports deal with ways to decrease the number of workers that contract HIV/AIDS so that the disease does not spread to the general population. Also supports the Getting to Zero mission, has found different ways to implement the primary policy initiative, Recommendation 200. This recommendation states that measures be taken in and through the workplace to facilitate access to HIV prevention, treatment, care, and support services for workers, their families, and dependents. The publication discusses some of the different ways that they have implemented programs that target both sex workers and their clients in different countries worldwide. Another report released by the ILO examined sex work in Cambodia by evaluating direct and indirect sex work in various settings and case studies with sex workers to conclude with policy suggestions that can be used to decrease the rate of HIV/AIDS transmission among sex workers, their clients, and to the general population also. Some of the key recommendations from this report suggest addressing violence and abuse that is work-related, expanding unions to include indirect sex workers, bringing a workplace perspective to prevention, care, and health strategies, and coordinating health and safety interventions in the workplace. Under each category, more specific initiatives that can be implemented were also included. Amnesty International. In August 2015, Amnesty International called for the worldwide decriminalization of sex work as the best way to improve the human rights of sex workers. In May 2016, it published a policy calling on governments around the world to decriminalize consensual sex work and rejecting the Nordic model. So, Australia. Scarlet Alliance is the peak body for sex worker organizations in Australia and campaigns for the full decriminalization of sex work, in addition to providing HIV/AIDS outreach and education to sex workers. The country has been credited with better sex worker occupational health and safety, high condom use, and the lowest STI and HIV rates around the world. Furthermore, the now defunct Prostitutes Collective of Victoria, PCV, founded in Melbourne, Victoria, was the first sex workers organization in the world to receive government funding. The organization was renamed Resourcing Health Education for the Sex Industry, RHED, and became part of the Inner South Community Health Service, but as of 2013, is a different kind of organization. Africa. South Africa, the Sex Workers Education Advocacy Task Force, SWEAT, S-W-E-A-T, founded in 1994 and located in Cape Town, intends to provide education and public health services to sex workers. They also lobbied for the decriminalization of sex work and began a research program in 2003 to influence future policy pertaining to sex workers. SWEAT kept the fight against AIDS as the forefront by supplying sex workers with education, condoms, and financial stability. Asia, the Asia Pacific Network of Sex Workers, APNSW, was formed in 1994 to advance the rights of sex workers in Asia and to provide direct support to Asian sex workers, particularly concerning human rights issues and HIV support services. Australian-born sex worker activist Andrew Hunter was instrumental in the development of APNSW, as well as a contributor to the growth of the Global Network of Sex Work Projects, NSWP, and a significant history of activism is internationally recognized. India, the Mahalia Samawaya Committee, which translates to Unstoppable Women's Coordination Committee, one of the world's largest sex workers organizations, was founded in Kolkata in 1995. From 1995 to 1997, the number of those associated with the committee grew to around 30,000, mainly consisting of sex workers from West Bengal. In Sanagachi, the Mahalia Samawaya Committee held rallies against yearly police raids aimed at sex workers. The committee also participates in being a link between the Indian sex working industry and the worldwide government. Japan Sex Work and Sexual Health, SWASH, SWASH, opposes slavery and exploitation, researches the climate of the sex work industry, and also works to empower sex workers. Most recently, sex workers have fought for inclusion in the government handouts for the unemployed due to COVID-19. Europe. TAMPEP is an organization that was founded in 1990. It aims to help migrant sex workers in more than 25 European nations, especially focusing on the public health needs of those workers in Central and Western Europe. It also examines the legislative framework that sex work takes place within to suggest better policies that would protect sex workers. Some of the outreach methods used to assist sex workers include outreach and education and cultural and peer mediators. Some of the results of research carried out include identification of migrant sex workers and barriers to protection of their rights, and the creation of networks between sex workers, organizations, and medical care. France. In 1975, 100 sex workers occupied St. Eazer Church, Lyon, to protest against poor working conditions. United Kingdom Network for Sex Work Projects, NSWP, was founded in the 1990s as an organization based around sex worker advocacy. Based in London, United Kingdom organization serves as an information exchange for 40 projects and operations across the world. The goal of the NSWP is to bring attention to the well-being of sex workers as well as provide news and resources against sex work. North America, United States. Carol Lay coined the expression sex workers in 1978. Latin America and the Caribbean in the 1980s. The newspaper La Cabala was founded in Havana, Cuba. It claimed to be edited by sex workers, although scholars have raised doubts about that claim. More importantly, it gave sex workers agency, individuality, and personality, and thus challenged the stigmatization of sex work. Association of Autonomous Female Workers, AAFW, founded in Ecuador in 1982, is known as one of the oldest sex workers organizations in South America. Operated by healthcare workers, feminists, and sex workers. In 1998, sex workers from the AAFW protested against the poor conditions in which they were working in the sex industry. As of 2019, there are two regional networks for sex workers' rights in Latin America and Caribbean. Network of Women Sex Workers in Latin America and Caribbean in Spanish, Red de Mujeres Trabajadoras Sexuales de Latinoamérica y el Caribe, Retrosex. I tried my best with Spanish. Didn't say I was perfect at it. It was founded in 1997 in 15 countries to fight for the rights of sex workers. By 2013, the organization had influenced policy in certain countries and has interacted with the presidents Rafael Correa of Ecuador and Luis Inácio Lula da Silva in Brazil. One achievement made in Latin America has been the sex worker identification card that has been issued in Bolivia. Furthermore, more sex workers have been included in HIV and health services education. Latin American platform of people who exercise sex work, Spanish, Plataforma Latinoamericana de Personas que Orejecan el Trabajo Sexual, PLAPERTS, PLAPERTS. Dates of significance. March 3rd, International Sex Workers' Rights Day. This day began when over 25,000 sex workers gathered in India for a festival organized by a Calcutta-based group called Durbar Mahila Samanwaya Committee, Unstoppable Women's Census Committee, despite protests pressuring government to revoke the permit for the parade in 2001. January 2nd, International Sex Workers' Day. This day began June 2nd, 1975, in Lyon, L-Y-O, in France, when a group of sex workers met in a church to express their anger about exploitative living conditions and the criminalization they faced because of their work. August 3rd, China Sex Worker Day. In 2009, the Chinese Grassroots Women's Rights Center designated this day to fight the discrimination that faces Chinese sex workers. December 17th, International Day to End Violence Against Sex Workers. In 2003, Dr. Ann Sprinkle founded the Sex Workers Outreach Project USA, held a vigil on this day for the victims of the Green River Killer, and this day has been commemorated ever since to remember the victims of violent crimes, by discrimination of crimes related to sex work. So what are your views on sex workers' rights and sex workers' rights movement, Antonio? Very, very simple. I 100% agree with the liberal feminist position on sex workers' rights and sex workers' rights movement. And I also agree with the sex positive feminist position 100% on sex workers' rights and sex workers' rights movement. I am for the legalization of all sex work. And I am also for the decriminalization of all sex work. So I am full legalization of all sex work. And I am full decriminalization of all sex work. Right? So I try to make this as simple as possible. This is what I feel. This is my belief, my opinion. I think that prostitution and all sex work are transactions where no one is harmed and the persons involved are consenting adults. I think that prostitution and all sex work are free choices. I think that all sex work are no more moral or immoral than other jobs. I think that sex trafficking and coercion into the industry can be effectively reduced if sex work is legalized or decriminalized. I think that decriminalization or legalization can protect sex workers from violence most effectively, such as through on-site security at venues such as brothels and systems such as panic buttons, as well as the ability for sex workers to report abuse or crimes to the police without the fear of prosecution for committing illegal activity. I think that the spread of diseases can be hindered through the legalization or decriminalization of prostitution, such as through regular mandated health checks and required condom use. Let me include all sex work on this one. I think that the spread of diseases can be hindered through the full legalization or full decriminalization of all sex work, such as through regular mandated health checks and required condom use. I think that the rates of rape could decrease if prostitution and all sex work were fully legalized or fully decriminalized. I think that all sex work could become legal businesses, and human rights and workers' rights could be enforced by effective regulations such as fair pay. I think that prostitution and all sex work are career options in which the free market is being taken advantage of and women's claims of their own bodies. I think that the criminalization of sex workers only exacerbates problems that they're already facing. Therefore, full decriminalization or full legalization could be a starting point to addressing these issues. I think that sex trafficking and coercion into the industry can be effectively reduced if all sex work are fully legalized or fully decriminalized. I consider myself a member of the sex worker rights movement, and I am in full support of sex workers' rights. I fully support the human rights, the right to health, and the labor rights of sex workers and their clients. Let me make this clear. I hate guerrilla pimping. I hate drug pimping. I am against child prostitution extremely strongly. I am against child sex work 100% extremely strongly. I hate traffickers. I hate human traffickers. I hate sex traffickers. I hate abusive pants. I hate sex criming pimps. I think that sex workers should have the same rights to housing, affordable quality housing, affordable quality medical care. Let's make the STIs and STD rates as low as we can. I hate violent clients. I love respectful clients. I hate the police who use their legal law enforcing employment to casting couch sex workers, and then use the sex workers' sex work job to legally shit on them. I think that's fucked up. And I hate any law enforcement person who rapes sex workers, who beats sex workers, who lies on sex workers, who lies about the whole I didn't have sex with sex workers, and you know damn well that's what you fucking did. You know you found a sex worker attractive, exchanged income, and then had sex. And then you want to have them prosecuted. And I think that the law should understand that folks like that should be dealt with harshly in terms of long imprisonment sentences. And don't allow someone's sex work to blind your legal obligation to use the gavel correctly if you're going to be a judge. And the jury should not be biased against the sex worker. They should be human rights minded. I think that independent contractors should be able to have organized action. Nobody should be pressured to buy drinks for anybody, and dancers should be working with payment. I think that when it comes to unlawful and inappropriate customer behavior, it should be 100% called the police, 0% blame the stripper, 0% dismiss the incident as part of the job. The customer should not be asked to leave because they should be forced out. If you are committing unlawful and inappropriate acts towards strip club-based sex workers and sex workers in general, you should be forced out of the environment and thrown in prison. Don't accidentally push the shit stains out. I think the hookup apps I think tech online and technology should make sure the hookup acts are in favor of sex workers instead of against them in every which kind of way. I think that sex workers should have pension rights. I think that sex workers should be a part of entrepreneurship. They should be able to have access to social workers and civil service and public service. I think that they should be able to have mental health treatments with actual experts who are sensitive to them. I don't think the undercover police officer should engage in sexual relations with sex workers during the course of investigations. I say that because it has not turned out well. Because when they engage in sexual relations, they tend to lie. I have never heard of a case where undercover police officers engaged in sexual relations with sex workers and ended up beautifully. No, it ended up damn ugly. So I think that if you're a cop and you are biased against sex workers, don't have sex with them. Investigations, just don't do that. Don't be a hypocrite. I don't mind police and sex workers having sex if the area is, if it's legal. If it's lawful and the cop is not biased against the sex work, I don't mind that. But in most cases, I have a problem with it because it's hypocritical. There may be cases where it's rare to have a cop who respects sex workers when put them in a compromising situation, but that's just me thinking. I like Nevada's way of legalizing. You know, protecting the business and the workers, improve regulation, that's awesome. I think when it comes to enabling sex traffickers act that Congress passed, I think it should be effective, proven effective in catching and stopping sex traffickers, and sex workers should experience no endangerment. I love the peer education between sex workers focusing on raising awareness regarding STIs. I love the condom distribution for the social marketing. I love the promotion offering of STI screening, treatment, and management. I think that sex work is a job, and I think that sex work should be respected just like any other job. I like that. I love the allowance of sex workers undertaking their work and improve organized circumstances, you know, like legal brothels. I like the, you know, where standard industry practices, you know, for example, the practice of condoms, regular health checkups for sex workers, and reducing transmission of HIV and other STIs. That is my view. I love the red umbrella symbol. And to wrap up my views, this is exactly what I'm going to say. I am for the human rights of sex workers 100%. I am for the civil and political rights of sex workers 100%. I am for the economic, social, and cultural rights of sex workers 100%. And I am for sex workers 100%. I am for sex work 100% all around. Thank you all for hearing my heart.